Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening to this February the 28th edition of Team Liberty Radio with your host, Shane LaCroix. And in the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking at a variety of subjects. Besides that, our main topic of a New York Times columnist calls for Trump's assassination. That's our main topic today. We're going to look at some other issues. Take a look at the South Carolina Democratic primary and the Nevada caucus that happened this past Tuesday. Also, we will be looking at this past Thursday night, very entertaining, last Republican debate before Super Tuesday. And I hope everyone had a good week since we was last here. Also, the article for this show is up as we speak on New York. It's by the same title as the show. New York Times columnist calls for Donald Trump's assassination. If you haven't, check out our website at www.teamliberty1776.wordpress.com. You can check out not only articles this show, but past articles. Please leave a comment, or if you got any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, there is a contact page there. And shoot me an email. We'll be glad to get you on the air. Also, if you'd like to call in during this live show, our call-in number is area code 845-277-9109. Again, that call-in number for live is 845-277-9109. And you can only call in during the live show, or you can reach us on our chat board. And again, that is only during the live show, but you can reach us anytime via our webpage. And again, that address is www.teamliberty1776.wordpress.com. But like I said before, I hope everybody has had a good week since we last joined us, and I'd like to say welcome back to joining us again. What we're going to look at first is we're going to the Democratic primary, which happened last night, and which really is not a surprise coming from South Carolina. Hillary Clinton destroyed Bernie Sanders in South Carolina, with Hillary taking home roughly 271,514 votes to Sanders' 95,977, total by a margin of 3-1. Hillary destroyed Bernie in South Carolina, and with that total, Hillary got 39 delegates, and Bernie got 14. This wasn't a surprise to me that Hillary took South Carolina due to Bernie's calling himself a democratic socialist. And I just hope that South Carolina, by the time we get to the November election, wakes up and Hillary is not the golden child as some think she is. She is very, very bad for America. Everybody thinks Obama was bad or is bad. Hillary's going to be worse. Granted, I know people's going to disagree with me. That's my opinion. But Hillary, the only thing I can say, if you think Obama was bad, wait till Hillary gets in the office. Now turning our attention to the Nevada caucus, which happened this past Tuesday, it was Donald Trump taking Nevada by nearly doubling his second place, finishing the same place was Mark Rubio. Then the third was Trump definitely doubled what Cruz got. Trump came in with 34,531 votes. Rubio, 17,940. Cruz come in with 16,079. Carson come in fourth with 3,619. And former Ohio Governor Kasich come in with 2,709 votes. The delegates that was handed out during this was Trump was 14, Rubio 7, Cruz 2nd, Carson and Kasich each got one delegate to go towards their total for nomination. And I know some people have asked me, well, how does that delegate process work and how they do that? Well, on delegate count, each state is allotted a certain number of to the presidential contestants, as I call them, certain number of delegates to each candidate. Well, in some states, like New Hampshire, it's a winner take all. Whoever wins them, they get the delegates. Like that's where Trump got 50 delegates last week from New Hampshire. That's just on the Republican side. But in other states, like you can see with South Carolina, Iowa, and Nevada, it's based on a tier program. The first place gets, like Cape Point in Nevada, gets 14, then second gets 7, and so forth. Now, it's also based on how many candidates we've got. Now, we're down to 5 on the Republican side. They can easily divide them out a whole lot easier. But as of the Nevada caucus, the total delegate count goes in like this. Donald Trump with 81, winning the states of New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada. Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio are tied for second on delegate count with 17 apiece, with Cruz winning the very first primary in our caucus in Iowa. Then John Kasich has 6, finishing second to Trump, and then Ben Carson has 4. To win the nomination for the Republican Party at the convention in Cleveland, you have to win 1,237 delegates. There's a total delegates of over 2,341. As you can see, you have to win over half the delegates to get the nomination. Now, this on the Democrat side is where it gets confusing. Not only do they have delegate count, they also have what they call superdelegates. And what is superdelegates? It's a good question because I did not know they had it until I looked into it. But superdelegates is delegates that are free to choose who they want up into the Democratic convention. With that said, as of right now, Hillary Clinton is leading with 90 delegates and then 453 superdelegates with a total of 543, with Bernie Sanders having 65 delegate count with only 20 superdelegates with a total of 85. There is still some shenanigans going on there with Hillary losing as she did in New Hampshire, not getting all the delegates, her still getting more delegates, superdelegates, than Bernie Sanders did when he won the state. Well, we notice the establishment is scared of the non-establishment candidates of Trump and Sanders. But on the Democratic side, they're making it look blatantly obvious that they are scared of these contestants because Hillary Clinton is the Democratic Party's choice for the nomination. They just threw out Bernie and Martin O'Malley just to make it look, oh, let it have fair conscience. They never did predict that Bernie Sanders was going to be such a hit for the for people on the Democratic side. Don't get me wrong, I don't like Sanders. I do not like his Democratic socialism and all this free, give everybody everything. People don't realize that Bernie's so-called give everything free, tax the rich. What they call rich people is people that are rich are making excess of $250,000 a year. Well, granted, to me, somebody like me, that is a lot of money, like $250,000 a year. And that state is a family, combined income $250,000. Those people are the ones who buy cars, buy houses. They're not rich by no means. The richest people like Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Trump, all these rich people, they're the ones where the taxes need to be come out of, not from us middle class or poor people. But I digress. But on the Democratic side, the delegates needed to win is 2,382, where there is 463 delegates up for grabs. So that is 4,051 regular delegates and 712 super delegates for a combination of 4,763. It is not as complicated as they make it out to be on delegate super delegates on Democrat side. You have to just do the research. Again, folks, don't go fully for what I say, but take the time, research yourself, and find out about it. Now we're going to turn our attention to the GOP debate this past Thursday, and I'll be honest, I sat there and watched it. And it was very, very entertaining to me about this debate is where it was mainly two-on-one, where the establishment is trying to throw two-on-one to Donald Trump to fluster him. And anybody just sitting there with a neutral eye could tell that Donald was loving this attempted bashing of him by Rubio and Cruz. When what the one that I did not like the way they treated like a redhead stepchild was Ben Carson. Ben Carson, where I agree with him on his idea of vaccines and forced inoculation, I do not agree with him on that. But Ben Carson is a good man, and I'd like to see him if he. Let's be honest, he does not have a chance to become president. But whoever gets president, I like to see him. He would make a good, with him being a neurosurgeon, would make a good Surgeon General of the United States. Ben Carson is a very knowledgeable man. I believe he'd make a good Surgeon General. But they do not, they asked all the candidates about taxes, terrorism. Ben Carson only got nibbles of these questions. He wasn't even asked about them. And I have to agree with Trump. He said Carson was treated unjustly during this. I'm paraphrasing, folks. But Ben Carson got the short end of the stick on this debate. But I tell you, one thing I did like near the end of the debate was where with leader, you're right there in the middle of the stage, and you have your next two competitors right there beside of you. And Donald Trump had the perfect quote when he looked at Cruz, looked at Rubio, and he calls Rubio. When he looked at Rubio, he calls him, "I got a choker to the right of me, and I got a liar to the left of me," talking about Ted Cruz. I got a choker to the left of me, liar to the right of me. that reminded me so much of the Reserve, the Reservoir, the movie, 1992 movie, The Reservoir Dogs. And there's a song in that movie. It was released in April 1974 by the group Steeler's Wheel called Stuck in the Middle with You. That lyric goes, clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle of you. When I heard that, I was like, yep, that basically sums up how Trump was stating, like, I got a choker to the left of me, a liar to the right of me, talking about Rubio and Cruz. That was hilarious to me, folks. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. Well, let me touch on something real quick. Super Tuesday is coming up this coming Tuesday, March the 1st. And this is going to be a very, very, very big test for both parties, Democrat and Republican. Because as of this Tuesday, you may know who's going to be your Republican candidate and your Democratic candidate come the election November. We'll have to wait to see. I'll be honest, I haven't decided if I'm going to have a Super Tuesday show yet or not. Just look at the website, look at Blog Talk Radio schedule, just in case you might, or check out the link on the website, teamliberty1776.wordpress.com, to see if we're going to have a show. If not, we'll discuss it next Sunday, but we're going to take a quick break. I'd love to call in for your questions, comments, disagreements, area code 845-277-9109, or reach us on the website. We're going to take a quick break. I will be right back. Welcome back. Again, our call-in number is area code 845-277-9109, or you can reach us via chat board. But today's topic is New York Times columnist calls for Donald Trump's assassination. We are going to be discussing the comments made by Ross does that, D-O-U-T-H-A-T, called for Trump's attempted assassination to end his presidential campaign. Folks, when I read this and saw this, it totally blew my mind that this New York Times columnist would say this. It is not a joke to call for somebody's attempted assassination of a public figure to end their campaign. I don't care if you're running for president, dog catcher, state Congress, state Senate, United States Congress, United States Senate. You do not make a joke out of calling for somebody to do attempted assassination. In my article, I have a screenshot of his calling for that, where it says, where he goes, good news, guys, I figured out how the Trump campaign's in. And he has a video clip of the Stephen King movie, The Dead Zone, which was a book that he wrote back in 1979, I believe. And in it, the movie come out in 83, starring Christopher Walken, Martin Sheen, and a few other stars. And he puts a clip where Walken, which is an assassin, tries to kill Martin Sheen, who is running for Congress. Anyway, Walken sees premonitions, and he tells Sheen that he's going to be president of the United States. But he also sees in the vision that when Sheen becomes president of the United States, he starts a nuclear war. Well, walking to solve the problem take tries to kill attempt to kill Sheen in attempted assassination. Well, his first shot missed, and Sheen picks up a kid to block himself, knowing that Martin will not shoot the child, which that's a proverbial that Trump would hurt up a child to quit the assassination. Well, I'm sorry. As crazy as people are this day and time, which is really sad, some of this columnist puts this out on Twitter, knowing some radical nut may or may not take a chance to do it. It's pretty appalling. It's pretty appalling and repulsive that he would do something like that. It's a slap in the face to journalists, anybody that writes, or anybody that's a political figure that do this. I mean, this guy is an idiot, for lack of better terms. And he has since deleted the tweet, and he has posted a correction to his tweet. And I'm going to read to you what he said there. The original tweet had been deleted, but his new tweet has come up and it says, "A lot of readers were offended by my Trump dead zone joke from yesterday. I can see why, and I've deleted the tweet. Apologies." I'm sorry, Ross, but that is nothing funny to joke about right there. It's you calling, making a joke about attempted assassination. It's very, very appalling, very degrading of yourself. A slap in the face to journalists all around the world that you would do that. Even though the New York Times is the quintessential mouthpiece to the global elite, New World Order, if you want to know what they're planning, just read the New York Times. They put it out there in plain views where they figure that most people are sheeple and will not get what they're saying. They put everything out there in plain view, hoping for your ignorance to know what is going on. But to continue on, the explosion on Twitter of his of replies to his tweet before it was deleted, his original tweet about calling for the attempted assassination. People went crazy and went off on him about, I'm going to read you some of their tweets. This is just one. "My respect for you has plummeted. You are an embarrassment advocating an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Dude, you are making effing assassination jokes." Another one, maybe time for you to take a break. Another one, "Are you freaking serious? Imagine if you made that joke about President Obama. What is wrong with you, dude?" Agreed. I have to agree with that. If this was 2008 and somebody put that out when Obama was running for office, there would have been a media firestorm about this. They'd be calling for the arrest of this journalist for petting that out about an attempt to assassinate a public figure. They would have him arrested, jailed, and tried for this in a matter of no time, if it was anybody else. This just shows you how much Trump scares the establishment, that you have their mouthpiece, the New York Times, allowing its columnists to put out junk like this. But some of the more tweets that are coming out, just when I thought the New York Times could not sink any lower. That was from RT. And this is another one If someone at News Corp did this tweet in 2008 about Obama, you'd be first to want that person fired and declare News Corp racist. And then what that is, that's talking about the New York Times right there saying that they would want, let me get that right here. I misread that. This was at Dotok New York Times, which Ross Stewart, this guy said, if someone at News Corp, which runs Fox News, had did that tweet in 2008 about Obama, you'd be the first to want that person fired and declare News Corp racist. You could not hit it any better right there with that. But this assassination attempts are very, 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 very serious. And just remember, back in October, the drug kingpin El Chapo put a bounty out on Donald Trump's head for $100 million. And right shortly after that, Trump started received Secret Service checks in which, according to one of his former advisor, Roger Stone, Trump already has a very elite force of security protecting him, his own security force protecting, along with now the Secret Service, which, don't read into that, anybody running for office, once the field gets narrowed down to a certain amount, any presidential candidate gets protection from the Secret Service up until the nomination or the November primary. So, I did that, found out a little research of my own. But anyway, Mr. Stone, who has known Donald Trump for 40 years, said starting last October, if you notice, Donald Trump never buttons his jacket while he is on stage. The reason being is because he has been wearing a bulletproof vest anytime he is in public because of them threats starting in October. Then in December, when he made his comments on the Muslim immigration, he has received an exorbitant amount of death threats since that time. So this is very serious. And don't be stupid like Ross was. And put out, even though you're joking, putting out, or what he says he was joking now since it backfired on him, since the backlash from it, he said he is joking now. Since then, about an attempted assassination on Trump on any public figure, don't be stupid. But read my article on this, it is very, very enlightening to folks. Again, that is, the name of it is New York Times columnist calls for Donald Trump assassination. Get it out, forward it around, spread the word about the show, spread the word about the website. And folks, let's just be in prayer for our nation as we're going through some very turbulent times right now. We'll be back with you, good Lord willing, next Sunday at 6 p.m. for your weekly dose of truth. And folks, be ready for whatever comes down to the pipe. We don't know what is coming, but get your life in order. Be prepared. But we will see you next Sunday at 6 p.m., or we may see you Tuesday night after this Super Tuesday. Just check out our website, teamliberty1776.wordpress.com, for we're going to have a show. We'll see you next week.